I'm probably going to say a few things today that aren't new. But I believe as we start this series on the kingdom of heaven and kingdom living in particular, that my title is also going to be the conclusion. The title is Kingdom Living More Than We Ever Thought. So maybe I'll just show you what's in my box and then we go and have coffee. How about that? If that's the conclusion. No, you're not getting away that easily. And I know I wouldn't. I caught something in a box the other day in the garden. And, well, maybe we'll just come to that in a minute. Probably be good to read something first from the Bible. Maybe Ephesians chapter 1. You don't need to follow it. I think what Lizzie prayed is key this morning. It isn't what I particularly say that matters. It's what our Father in heaven is saying to you that really matters. And I just trust that out of some of the words I've got and some of the things I've written down, there'll be something that will encourage you and encourage us all together to see the amazing showing of the kingdom of heaven shown on earth. So this is Paul writing to the Ephesians. Take those off so I can see it. Sounds daft, doesn't it, really? Take your glasses off so you can see. By the way, I just want to say, Toby, the songs you picked this morning are just amazing in preparing the ground for what I feel the Father wants to share with us today. Because it all has to do with the foundation of his love and his closeness to us that makes any of this mean anything at all. So just thank you, Lord, that you're on this. Is this? Yeah, okay. Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm has already been lavished upon us as a loved gift from our wonderful Heavenly Father, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. All because he sees us wrapped up into Christ. This is why we celebrate him with all our hearts. And he chose us to be his very own, joining us to himself even before he laid the foundation of the universe. Because of his great love, he ordained us so that we would be seen as holy in his eyes with an unstained innocence. For it was always in his perfect plan to adopt us as his delightful children through our union with Jesus, the Anointed One, so that his tremendous love that cascades over us would glorify his grace. For the same love he has for his beloved one, Jesus, he has for us. And this unfolding plan brings him great pleasure. Since we are now joined to Christ, we have been given the treasures of redemption by his blood, the total cancellation of our sins, all because of his cascading riches in his grace. This superabundant grace is already power and practical understanding. And through the revelation of the hidden mystery of his long-range plan, which he was delighted to implement from the very beginning of time. And because of God's unfailing purpose, this detailed plan will reign supreme through every period of time until the fulfillment of all the ages, when it finally reaches its climax. When God makes all things new in all of heaven and earth through Jesus Christ. And then going on to verse 15, we read something that Paul prayed in the context of this. And because of this, since I first heard about your strong faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your tender love towards all his devoted ones, my heart is always full and overflowing with thanks to God for you as I constantly remember you in my prayers. I pray that the Father of glory, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, would impart to you the riches of the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of revelation to know him through your deepening intimacy with him. I pray that the light of God will illuminate the eyes of your imagination, flooding you with light until you experience the full revelation of the hope of his calling. That it finds in us his holy ones. It's absolutely brilliant to see how our Heavenly Father's doing amazing things in this family that we call Kingsgate Church. Last week, all the practical things that were touching people's lives that were shared from the frontier, all the discoveries in people's hearts of the goodness of God. I believe that Papa is painting for us a picture in these days of more than we ever dreamt. It's a bigger picture than we thought. And not only of his kindness and his generosity and his greatness and his strength and his closeness and his love and his just his downright goodness, he's also reminding us that when we think we might have sized up his purposes in this earthly realm, our vision is way, way too small. Now, I mentioned my box and what I caught. What's in here is it's just a bit dangerous. I don't know if it's a bit of Jekyll and Hyde or it can bring down trees. And it can take the roof off of houses. On a hot day, it can make people feel really good. It's even really useful on other days. It can help to move water. It can help to generate electricity. It's amazing. But it's a little bit scary. I wonder, Toby, do you want to come and... Do you want to be brave? I know you like an adventure.
I do love an adventure.
Just, do you want to check it out?
And, sure.
Yeah, be careful.
Oh, goodness me. Sure?
Just be careful, that's all. Don't let it out.
Wait, there's nothing in there, Martin. It's empty. There's nothing in the box.
What has it got out?
It must have done. There's nothing in there.
Oh, dear.
Not again. This happened to me last week, that did.
Well, there you go. Well, thanks for trying anyway. I thought that was going to be really exciting.
Sorry, Martin.
I guess that's what happens to you when you catch a stormy gale in a box. And I wonder, this is a picture that God gave me a few weeks ago when it was stormy and gaily. He said, go and catch them in a box, see what you get. I wonder if he's just prompting us to think that although we've got so much idea and understanding and experience of his Holy Spirit, whether somehow we are putting him and his Holy Spirit in some kind of a box. And that's what happens to wind when you put it only counts when it's moving. But also, I thought, oh yeah, it's a kind of an obvious picture because you look at Greek and the word for wind and breath and the word for spirit, it's the same word. Yeah. But then he said, well, perhaps we're doing the same with our ideas about an understanding about the kingdom of heaven. that somehow we've got a box that we didn't realize that we'd put it in. And inadvertently, we've boxed in his kingdom. It may be that that box is something to do with how in our minds we have pictured church. That we've put the kingdom in a church-shaped box. I'm convinced we had no intention of doing that, but I feel God might be just prompting us that perhaps we did. History hasn't helped us. We've had centuries of church history in this nation. And during those centuries, there's been very little revelation of the kingdom of God. But somehow we have inherited an image, a setup, an establishment of church. Now, I do realize that families like ours, churches like ours, are on a bit of a journey to change that. But there's still a legacy kicking around somewhere within which we've boxed the kingdom. In recent decades, there's been an increasing revelation and understanding of Jesus' message of the kingdom of heaven. He brought the good news of the kingdom. That's what he was all about. And inadvertently, perhaps we've restricted the massive thing that he brought into some kind of a restricted. And speaking about the kingdom that was revolutionary in his day. And maybe to some it would still be revolutionary today. Matthew 6 verse 10, he says, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." We probably know these words quite well. Or in the Passion Translation, it says, "Manifest your kingdom realm and cause your every purpose to be fulfilled on earth just as it is in heaven." So what have we missed? I believe we've received some really great treasure. We've had our eyes opened to some amazing truth of what God intends, what his purpose is. But I also believe there's a lot more. And it's scary when you consider that what he intends is not within our control. It's probably good to just for a moment think about looking back at Jesus' own example. That the kingdom of heaven has first and foremost to do with how we learn to be more than how we learn to do. How we learn to be kind more and more day by day, year by year. How we learn to be generous, gentle, strong, loving, just deep down good. But above all, how we learn more and more how to be present in his presence. This is above all. This is where we learn how to be kind and generous and gentle and strong and loving and just good. Being present in his presence. We do experience an amazing sense of his presence when we're together. Sometimes more than others, and we don't understand why. But partly that would have to do with how we are present when we know that he's here. How our hearts are present, how our spirit is enlivened, how we are recognizing and then engaging with the fact that he's here. Not just, "Ah, it's good to have you here. We welcomed him here at the beginning of the meeting. That's great, and that's right." But plainly, that leads us somewhere. It leads us to connecting to him being here. So, church is not the kingdom. They are not the same thing. I'm sure this is one of the things that, you know, we've heard before in some form of words. But I wonder if it might be fair to describe church as a friendly society within which together we learn how to be. How to live in the reality and the increasing fullness of who we are in Christ. He has amazingly joined us together with him. He's the words that we read, we are wrapped up in Christ. We are completely enveloped by him. That is a statement of fact. But somehow it takes time, because we're people, we're humans. It takes time to learn how to be in that identity. We've been given amazing access to him. We happen, this might sound like a minimizing of the process by which we came to know him, by which we came to be, quote unquote, saved. But we happen to have recognized a measure of his goodness at some stage in our lives. Goodness, and it touched us. That is kind of what we call faith, because there is a seeing connection, because I've been touched by his goodness. And it's that which has opened the door to living as a people, a person to start with, joined with others, now a people, living connected to the life flow of Jesus. Now we realize that the door is all about what we call the cross, which is Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. And it, alternatively, in first century Jewish culture, the blood of the Lamb and the atonement. We understand that that is how the door works, if you like. If he hadn't provided what he provided by giving himself, we wouldn't have had that door. But as we walk through that door, we walk into new in every sense of that word. Everything changes. You might say, yeah, but I still feel some of this other stuff, this stuff I don't want in my life. Yeah, but even that has changed in that moment, because there is now potential for something that is different, something that is his kingdom on earth, rather than just let's muddle through while we have days. Church is the togetherness aspect of this discovering and relationship of Jesus' amazing love. We know that Jesus didn't come to start a religion or an organization, but maybe that's part of the box shape that we've overdone. If we need a word for what he's given us, we've heard it before today, it's family. It's relationship, it's friendship, it's that togetherness thing. And the life flow within this relationship is the potential for seeing the kingdom of heaven on earth as it is in heaven. It's that together life flow with him, filled with his spirit, knowing his presence, being present in his presence, that is the potential for all that he intends to be down here. So if we try to do the down here bit before we have the present in his presence bit, we've got wind that's in a box. Jesus came to show mankind this good news of the kingdom. His life on earth was a demonstration of all that that was. Not just the miracles, but how he was with people. And just as his life was like that, so is yours and mine. Ours is like that. It's a demonstration of what we've seen in heaven. in those moments of connection with him. Space last week. You think, come on. But it matters to him. He doesn't always do it the same way. But he does have ways of enabling us to recognize and declare his goodness. It gives us opportunity to release on earth his grace that has come to us. Just for an example, this is a quote from Bill Johnson, the grace of God. As I forgive others, they are forgiven. Jesus said, if you forgive them, I'll forgive them. In John 20. Wow, what an amazing thing is that? That what we do on earth changes something in heaven. It's going back the other way now. But actually it's not going back the other way at all. It's a life flow. It's God's intention that mankind be restored. And this is, we get to be part of it. We get to do some of that stuff. Just the little things. But we must get first things first. So as we're going to spend a few weeks teasing out and understanding what God is saying about his kingdom over the next few weeks. But let's first not put the cart before the horse. Let's not get all of the stuff that we think we can understand before we understand the importance of that intimate relationship with Jesus. His example gave us everything. He spent much time alone with his father. He'd be having an almost continuous conversation with him. He even said, I can only do what I see the Father doing. He also said that the Spirit of truth who is coming will only speak what he hears the Father saying. None of what Jesus did from day to day was prescribed or formulaic or routine. He didn't go and get a to-do list from his father every day. It wasn't like that because it was a relationship. There's still a little example in our house. Whenever there's cups of tea or coffee to be made, it's usually me that does them. Amy's laughing because she knows it's true. And it doesn't matter how busy I am. I'm out in the garden doing a bit of gardening. I'm building something over here or I'm painting something over there. Come 11 o'clock, 11:15, I come and make tea and coffee. If people are there for a meal, it's usually me that says, I'll put the kettle on. Now, if it wasn't the fact that we have our relationship, Marcy and me. I might get a bit resentful about that. Banging my fist, why do I always have to make the tea? But the thing is, it's because of a relationship that it's not an issue. And Jesus talks about us being servants. But he never talked to us about being slaves. In fact, he went beyond that and he said, I no longer even call you servants, I call you my friends. And so within that relationship, whatever we are doing, our attitude isn't, oh, I've got to do something for God. It is in this conversation, I'm prompted as to how to live my life so that others see something more of the grace of God on earth. As it is in heaven. And I totally don't mind making the tea. And so would he. He would make the tea. He really would. I totally believe that. So our priority remains to grow our relational closeness to our loving Heavenly Father, to our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, and to the person who Jesus sent to be with us and even in us at all times, the Holy Spirit. Learning more and more of how to be present in his presence. So let's just take a few minutes to be touched by some words from the Song of Songs, Song of Solomon, whatever title you like, which are some words that Jesus, as a bridegroom, is speaking to his bride. Now, male or female doesn't come into this. This is a spiritual picture. You are his bride. We together especially are his bride. Some of us guys have got to get over some of this stuff. You know, some of the songs that we were singing this morning, I give you all my love. You know, if we take it on a natural level, it's totally weird. Because we consider God to be male. Jesus definitely was. But you see, the picture is quite different. The relationship is similar, but is different in that respect. And in normal relationships, a man will win his beloved's heart. It might even work the other way. But let us not be under any illusion that Jesus, our Father in heaven, and the Holy Spirit are not touched by us, that we win their hearts. Before I read this, I'm just going to read something that Ben shared with us on Friday in the Equip session. This is a quote from a guy that some of us who have got a few more years under our belt might recognize his name, A.W. Tozer. This is an age thing, it's not a maturity thing, I assure you. He lived pretty much all of the years of the 20th century up to 1963 when he died. He wrote some interesting books, said some amazing things, and he loved Jesus, and he said this: God is a person. That's not saying he is human, it's just saying he is a person. He is the one in whom we were made in the image of. And in God is a person, and in the deep of his mighty nature, he thinks, he wills, he feels, he loves, he desires, and he suffers as any other person may. So with that as a little bit of background, this is Song of Songs, chapter 4, verse 9. This is Jesus talking to you. So if you want to just, if you feel like you want to close your eyes and listen, this is his voice as I read the words. For you reach into my heart. With one flash of your eyes, I am undone by your love. My beloved, my equal, my bride. You leave me breathless. I'm overcome by merely a glance of your worshipping eyes. For you have stolen my heart. I'm held hostage by your love and by the graces of your righteousness shining upon you. That is our God being touched by you and me. In all of his tenderness, this is the relationship that we're talking about. That somehow here is the foundation of the kingdom on earth. And we can't build without it. It's upon it. Just one glance of our worshipping eyes. Never doubt that you can melt his heart. if we fail to prioritize this close relationship with God, all the kingdom stuff will become merely strategy and life-draining work. But if we allow the Holy Spirit to soften our hearts and bring us closer in our life's walk with God, we may yet discover that he is actually doing more in this earthly realm than we ever imagined. And we get to join in. We read this in Mark 1. Later on, after John the Baptizer was arrested, Jesus went back into the region of Galilee and preached the wonderful gospel of God's kingdom. His message was this: at last, the fulfillment of the age has come. It is time for God's kingdom to be experienced in its fullness. Turn your lives back to God and put your trust in the hope-filled gospel. That is his message, and it's our message as well. Put your trust in this hope-filled gospel. Experience the kingdom in its fullness. That's his promise. That's his message. It's time. Yes, Jesus served his Father's purposes every day of his life. But it was in a love relationship, and that was the foundation of everything that he did. Without that, what he did would just have been a job. It would have been uninspired, uninspiring, and powerless. Just words. But the presence of the Spirit in his life made it into what we know that it was and is. It's God's good pleasure to have included us. He said he conferred on us a kingdom just as his Father conferred one on him. And it's his good pleasure also to show us his heart's desire. And our response to him is quite straightforward, I think. Easier said than done, maybe. Allow our hearts to be tender towards him. Have confidence that it's good to pray and to declare, "Let your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven." Let it be in the natural as it is in the spiritual. Let the two connect. We're not meant to be weirdos in the wrong sense of that word. We still have our feet on the ground. His kingdom is coming to the earth progressively. And I guess that's my last comment. We're talking about a progressive kingdom. It's growing. It's developing. So part of our challenge, particularly after those hundreds of years of history coming down to this year of 2021, our challenge is let it progress. Let it out of the box. I'm going to close by praying, if I may, Paul's prayer that we read earlier for us. I pray that the Father of glory, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, would impart to you the riches of the Spirit of wisdom and the Spirit of revelation or discovery. To know him through your deepening relationship and intimacy with him. I pray that the light of God will illuminate the eyes of your imagination, flooding you with light until you experience the full revelation of the hope of his calling. That is the wealth of God's glorious inheritances that he finds in us, his holy ones. And I pray that you will continually experience the immeasurable greatness of God's power made available to you through faith. Then your lives will be an advertisement of his immense power as it works through you. May it be so for us all, for the glory of his name in the earth.